I don't know why I've been thinking so much about the early days of my transition recently. I think maybe I've turned a corner. As a writer, I've always been looking backward, ready to mine the past, my own or someone else's, for drama or discussion. And I suppose as doors are closing on a period of my life, I've been focusing on what exactly was behind the door as it closes. Who the me was and why she's not really me anymore. But I'm getting ahead of myself. What I really wanted to tell you about today is a spooky movie. It is October after all. Herc Harvey was a theater kid, just like me. He grew up in the Midwest and acted and directed in a ton of plays, got both his master's and PhD in theater, and ended up teaching at University of Kansas in Lawrence in the early 50s. This was when he started working for Centron Films, a local company that produced industrial and educational films to be distributed both locally and nationwide. A lot of these are available on YouTube, and while many are pretty boring, there is a strange spark of something in them. The cinematography, the writing, Harvey did most of these things himself, and while it's hard to describe, and possibly in the minds of his fans, I would argue that you can see the flash of genius in these short films about syphilis, farming, alcoholism, and the stresses of high school. There's a later one especially that is so bizarre it's worth mentioning by name. Shake Hands with Danger, about using the proper safety precautions when working with heavy machinery that is so violent and unhinged, it becomes kind of a cult classic on its own. There's a little song, you really gotta see it. But obviously, that's not why I'm here to talk to you about today. In 1962, Herc made a narrative film, his only one. He got a bunch of Kansas theater actors together and made a horror movie called Carnival of Souls. He shot it for $30,000, which he raised from businesses in Lawrence, and shot it in Kansas in Salt Lake City, where he was inspired by seeing the abandoned Saltaire Pavilion, which features heavily in the movie. The plot concerns a young woman, Mary, who suffers memory loss after surviving a car wreck and moves to Salt Lake to become a church organist. While there, she starts noticing this terrifying man watching her. She tries to go about her day working at the church, and she meets a man who lives across from her in the boarding house where she's staying, but she keeps being haunted by visions of terrifying, zombie-like people who stare at her but then disappear. She also starts experiencing moments of displacement where people can't see or hear her for minutes at a time before she returns to normal. The most famous scene is a nightmare sequence where she sees all of these creatures dancing together at a huge pavilion right on the edge of the Great Salt Lake. It's a very moody and honestly terrifying film, especially for the era when it was released alongside cheesy schlock like The Brain That Wouldn't Die and 13 Ghosts. The kind of psychological dread was uncommon at the time and completely ignored until decades later when it received a critical reappraisal. I'm going to spoil the movie here, I think. It's very much worth watching, and I hope you seek it out. It's in the public domain and very easily streamable, but the Criterion release is by far the best way to see just how beautiful it really was. So if you don't want to get spoiled, stop now, go watch the movie, and come back. So as much as I love to recommend horror movies to everyone I know, the real reason I want to talk about this one in particular is, of course, men. This is a horror movie about what it's like to be a woman, which is shocking considering it was written and directed by what seemed to be actual men. But I'm not interested in investigating the possible egginess of Herc Harvey or co-writer John Clifford. I'm interested in the way it makes me feel. I watched this movie for the first time, as you may have guessed, fairly early in my transition, just as some things were starting to click into place. I was talking to a friend recently about the sharp double edge of passing, how every interaction or platonic relationship with a man becomes a guessing game of, how does this person see me? Is this a friend or is he angling on something? And of course, the constant threat of sexual abuse or violence that is always present but unspoken. It got me thinking about, you guessed it, my early transition, and how for me, many people saw me as a woman before I could myself. Let me clarify. Of course I was a woman then, and I was a woman before I started HRT, and you do not need to medically transition to be a woman or to be respected as such. but in my own experience, mostly due to my own low self-esteem, it was frequently difficult to look in the mirror and see a woman, to have the confidence in myself to be proud of my womanhood and my transness, and to feel like I deserve to be treated as such. And so when I was treated as a woman by strangers, it would usually take me by surprise. I don't think this is all that uncommon among trans women, especially those in the first few months of transition. My history with my own gender presentation and start and stop method of HRT over almost a decade probably added to my own feelings as well, of course, but that's best the subject of another podcast, I think. Back to Carnival of Souls. When I was watching this, I started to identify that this was a movie about the danger of men. Everywhere she goes, she's haunted by them. The car crash is caused by two men deciding they want to race. A terrifying older man watches her and invades her personal space at every turn. The seemingly nice man next door becomes violent when she declines his sexual advances. She's told she's crazy, that she needs to be locked up. When she strays beyond the bounds of the simple church music she's supposed to be playing and begins playing a hauntingly beautiful creative piece, she's fired for being sacrilegious. And when she tries to go to the police about the man that's stalking her, they literally cannot see or hear her. I don't want to paint myself as too naive here. I obviously knew that these were issues affecting women and other minorities, but it took seeing this movie for me to realize that no matter how ugly and too tall and strange I felt, the worst people in the world will see a woman and put me in the place that they think that I deserve. The movie ends with Mary joining, against her will at first, the dance at the pavilion and becoming acclimated to it, while the scene shifts back to Kansas, where the authorities have finally found the car, pulling it from the river. And of course, her body is inside. She's been dead the whole time. The twist doesn't hold up the same way in a post-Sixth Sense world, but boy is it effective, even if you guess it's coming. And I suppose for me, the parallel I want to draw is that sometimes it takes seeing something like this, seeing how it relates to yourself and the way you've been treated or are just starting to be treated, to accept yourself. I knew I was a woman. I told people I was a woman, but in many ways, it was hard for me to have the confidence in that until I realized that, for better or worse, other people were putting me in that role. I was already being talked over. I was already being catcalled and stared at, filmed against my will by a stranger at work, terrified when someone walked behind me on a dark street, ignored by medical professionals, and not taken seriously by police. Don't call the police if you can help it. I don't want to get into it right now, but I didn't really have a choice in this scenario. So I guess by identifying with Mary, I was able to see myself better. And while I guess that sounds like a bummer, let me be clear that this horror movie is certainly about the negative aspects of being a woman, but there are by far many more positive ones. Euphoria is and remains the main marker of my own transition, and I'm sure it is the same for you. And also, is it really a bummer? Mary has found community, and while they don't look like she expected, there's dancing. So that's not all that bad, is it? And the reveal of her dead body in the car can parallel the deadness of our own selves. Sometimes it takes seeing yourself the way you used to be to understand just how far you've moved on. And we are moving on, and it's scary at first, and it's a hell of a lot better than the life we had before. I knew I could end on a positive note if I tried. And one last thing. I know I use terms like early transition, so it's easy to think of it being in the past, but I try not to think about it that way. There are some people who consider their transition over, something to be done, and then they leave it in the past. I transitioned as an event in their life, whatever that may mean to them. I tend to think that we're always transitioning, like we're always living, moving forward, discovering new aspects of our gender like we do our personality. What fits me right now might not always be true of me in the future, and the me of October 2023 may look and feel different from the me of 6 months or 6 years from now. Anyway, you should watch Carnival of Souls. Happy Halloween, I guess. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more, get episodes early, get the paper version of our zine as we compile these little mini episodes, check out patreon.com/totallytrans, and you can find me on social media. I'm still on Twitter, I guess. I don't know. We'll see.
every day is a new understanding of just how low a website can sink. I'm at Katie of the Lake. I hope you all enjoy Halloween and have some fun parties or sexy costumes, but be safe. I love you. Good night.